Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for January 24th, 2016. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Every morning, part of my routine is after I finish the morning paper and I take the dogs for a walk around our property. And, of course, the dogs know the routines. The dogs know it, know this kind of stuff. And as soon as I finish my paper, they get ready. They get excited because they know we're going for a walk. As you may know, we're on 6 acres of property. It's very wooded and a lot of nice boulders, moss-colored. Especially right now, during the rainy season, the moss is bright green. And I walk around, and I started to notice interesting rocks, boulders, cracks, or designs, or interesting little trees that maybe are growing out of a small crack in a big boulder, right in the middle there, and interesting shapes of different things. I said, gee, I never noticed this before, and all these years on living on this property, and so I thought I'd like to increase for visitors when they come around the property to be able to be more observant, even if I, you know, unless you make an effort, you could miss a lot of things. And to make it kind of interesting and sort of fun, especially for when we have a board, a member meeting or retreat or something, and they come and there's a lot of children around, to give them a little sort of a game to play. I've done variations of this for family gatherings and treasure hunting and, you know, this kind of stuff. So this is a variation of it to make sort of a Dharma trail where I would take pictures of selected interesting spots, okay, along the path that goes around our property. And then have a schematic drawing of our property with the different major landmarks, and then give out these pictures with this map and number these pictures and say, can you put the number of where these things are? Can you spot them? So maybe it's a certain rock formation, and that's number one, say. And so you look at the map, the drawing of our property. So, oh, I see that rock right here. Okay, yeah, it's right behind the house over here. And you can put that number on the map drawing. And so it's sort of an exercise in finding these interesting spots, okay, and from these photographs. Some of them may be very hard to find, you know. I found a nice, I guess you'd call it a quartz rock embedded in a granite boulder. It's about 3 inches wide and maybe a yard, 3 feet long, strip of quartz. It looks, you know, right in the middle of a regular granite rock. Gee, it's really unusual to me. Or maybe a fossil. See? And some of these things are, you know, not very obvious. It may be a challenge for a walker to spot. And of course, kids like to be competitive, so to speak. It's not a competition thing, but it's just a way to make one's walk to around our property more interesting. Around. And this reminded me of the lead article in my father's book, The Center Within, is on awareness. And he talks about this famous haiku about a nazuna plant. And as he describes it, he says that, you know, the nazuna is the most insignificant small flower. Unless one looks very carefully, one would not see it. And Basho, who's the most famous Japanese poet, wrote a well-known poem in Japanese. It reads, Yoku miroba hazuna hanasaku kakine kana. And the translation is, look carefully, the nazuna blooms along the fence. Ah. And so in his commentary, he says, you know, perhaps Basho walked along that fence many times and he had been totally unaware of that small, insignificant white flower until he saw it that particular morning. It was blooming with every petal, every leaf. How beautiful. When the sun comes up, nazuna opens up 100%. Well, how about me? Am I living like the nazuna? I have so many complaints, no inspiration. But look at this insignificant wildflower. Nobody looks at it. Nobody praises it. So Basho was inspired to live like the nazuna when he crystallized his understanding into a 17-syllable haiku poem. Basho received a great lesson from this nazuna and expanded his awareness. Because if we're not, unless we're aware, we're going to not learn anything. We have no inspiration, no teachings. And the teachings are everywhere, all around us. If only we open the mind's eye to see. Awareness of life is what makes life special. And so forth. That's easy. You know. So, you can see when we take a walk, and then you see these different interesting spots, like a rock formation or whatever, and then you relate it. You could relate it to nature's teaching about oneself. That would be the ultimate. Ah, well, I'd like to introduce today's Dharma Glimpse guest, Michael, who lives in Florida. He's part of our Lay Ministry 8 group. And I'd like to introduce him and hear what he has to share with us today.
Hello, everyone. My name is Michael Saint, and I am in LM 8 study group. And my Dharma Glimpse is entitled The Bumblebee and the Black-Eyed Susan. I'm going to give you a short synopsis about myself. I'm an advanced master gardener. I've been in the business for years, and I also teach good garden practices. And this particular glimpse is from my online class called Garden in the Buddhist Way. So I want everybody to close your eyes. Think of yourself as a bumblebee, your short, choppy wings beating at an amazing 280 strokes per second. As you fly above the plants in your garden, your two large compound eyes, enhanced by three simple ocular organs, detect the conspicuously developed UV patterns on the florets of a native black-eyed Susan. Your three primitive eyes, centered in the middle of your head, lock onto the glowing signal of the black-eyed Susan's guidance system, as ultraviolet patterns guide you effortlessly into the black-eyed Susan's cone-shaped nectar station. Now, open your imagination and let your senses become one with the black-eyed Susan. You have a long, proud history of colonizing America. Your strong roots greeted the pilgrims as they landed on Plymouth Rock. Tolerant of drought, poor soil, winter conditions, disease, and insects, your strong stems are hairy, upright, and highly branched. Your alternate leaves are parallel, shallow, veined, and covered in rigid hair. Incorporated into your DNA, ultraviolet honey conductors create enzymes that formulate ultraviolet-absorbing flavanols in your petals. Slowly, as your flower begins to develop, a bullseye pattern appears in those early stages of development. A ring of green petals uncovers the bud as you create a supportive backdrop for the golden-drenched petals that encircle your silken, purplish-black fringed button. Generously, you offer your halo of golden pollen to all who wish to partake. So when walking out into your garden, remember to honor all with whom we share the earth, four-legged, two-legged, winged ones, swimmers, crawlers, plant, and rock. Honor the soil, air, and water that give us life. Thank you all so much for this time, and everybody have a happy new year.
All right. It's always so nice to, when Michael-san shares aspects of gardening knowledge. As you, some of you may know, my father, and also my father-in-law, Adrian's husband, Adrian's father, they both are gardeners professionally, landscape gardeners. And of course, my father was, that's how he was trained and educated, and he had his own business in Oakland, California, when he before he became a minister, before he became hurt, got the calling. You know, it was just, well, I won't say by accident, but he went to for a memorial service at the Oakland Buddhist Temple for his grandmother who passed away in Japan. And the minister there gave him a book. It was in Japanese by the Reverend Hayao Kagarasu. And when my father read this book, it just changed his life. Reverend Akigarasu was a famous religious leader in Japan, and he described his interpretation of this particular sutra and the kind of spiritual life that's shown through that. My father said, gee, a life like this is possible? And he got a calling. But he always had that landscaping, gardening, you know, background. And he kept it all through his life. He always took care of the temple gardens. He, whenever visiting family or visiting anywhere, he would always look around at the yards and maybe start pruning and bring home plants and so forth. And Adrian's father, he was a landscape gardener and self-employed like that, and he was still working into his 90s. And I think it's no accident. I think he loved to go out and be in nature. This was in Berkeley, and we're in Central California, and when he passed away, her father passed away in 2000, and Adrian's father passed away in 2005. We brought all his tools. You know, as a professional gardener, he had a lot of tools. And as my brother describes me, even though I don't know what I'm doing, he says, oh, he's a city boy gone wild. Yeah, so I'm adventurous, even though I don't know anything. I had no qualms. I just try anything, talk to people. So I'm out there, okay, almost every day. And if I have a tool in my hand, at my father-in-law's. I feel nice communion with nature and all these things. But my reason for talking about it is that when you think about nature, growing plants, you know, it brings in the seasons, the weather, it brings in dirt, the soil. And you realize, so many teachings. There's no better teacher than nature. We call it Mother Nature, but you take a little tiny seed, and, you know, this is going to turn into tremendous fruits. How big, juicy tomato. This is really a miracle, if you think about it. And nature is patient. When I was listening to today's Dharma Glimpse, I thought about some of the laws in nature, some of the natural things that happen. And I thought about how leaves just naturally turn toward the sun, so that their broad face of their surface can get the maximum sun exposure. Like a sunflower, it'll attract the sun as it goes across the sky, turns its face. In fact, that's me. You know, minister's son. In the United States, a lot of Japanese Americans were given English names, you know, and then for their middle name, times they were given a Japanese name. And for minister's son, that Japanese name was a Dharma name. And so my middle name, my Japanese name, or my Dharma name is Koyo. And the kanji or Chinese character for Ko, the meaning is to face toward. And then the Yo is, well, it's the sun, bright dawn. So to face the sun. And I think this is a natural thing. If you were before dawn and then the sun comes up, boy, you're going to just naturally, bam, when that, the dawn, the sunrise, you're going to look. And in nature, with a leaf, that natural tendency is called phototropic. There's tropisms, means the natural. I don't know what Yeek's phrase, the meaning of tropism. But photo means light, so there's a tendency always to orient, for leaves to orient themselves toward the light, for life to grow. And for the roots, they also have a tropism, hydrotropic. Roots are hydrotropic, of course, means water. So the roots will always seek out water. And no matter how the seed is planted, when the roots start to come out, even if it's upside down, it'll turn and reverse and go downwards toward where there's more moisture. This is nature. And so I think deep in us, every human being, we have a tropism for spirituality. Or if we're Buddhist, I'd say we have a dharmatropic nature. I coined this term, dharmatropic. Of course, when we say koyo, my name means to face the sun, it means to face the teachings, orient oneself toward the realities of life. Say, hey, I'm a human being born. What's this all about? Okay. Now, it's not like a strong tropism in plants. Maybe it could be easily overlaid with other types of conditioning and so forth. But I think it's the naturalness of an organism and a human being of to want to, I don't know how to say it, experience, live in oneness. Okay, something like that. And this dharmatropic nature is mirrored in phototropic, face the light. And of course, light means the teachings, wisdom, and it means warmth. If the sun is to see and so forth, but has warmth. And the warmth means life, means togetherness, compassion, harmony with others, that warmth of life. So wisdom and compassion, it's all there. And we need this. Okay. Maybe not as strong as food and shelter, but complete human beings. Yes, indeed. Well, last week, I think I forgot. I always have to write down, hey, don't forget your three puns. I'm going to end with a little humor. But while these puns, this list of puns still lasts, and end up on a chuckle. And appropriately, here's the first one of three. I'm really chuckling. I didn't plan it this way. Okay. Here's the first pun. I stayed up all night to see where the sun went, and then it dawned on me. I'm reading a book about anti-gravity. I just can't put it down. The last one. I did a theatrical performance about puns. There was a play on words. That's all for today's broadcast. Until next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful day.